Hi. So the Bible reading is Psalms 96, which is on page 426. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord make the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth.
Well, welcome to the service tonight. I want to tell you about Henry. Henry was a brand new Christian who was out at a cocktail party with some work friends, and his friends were a little bit confused and perplexed that he had become a Christian, or they thought he'd become religious. And one of them said, "Why on earth would you go to church?" I wonder whether you've ever been asked that. And he said, in response to why on earth would you go to church, he said, "Come with me on Sunday and you can see for yourself." It's a great line, by the way. Come with me on Sunday and you can see for yourself. Henry believed that people could meet God in the ordinary service like tonight. 9 o'clock service or 11 or 2 or 6. He believed that people who are not Christians can come into the gathering, into this place where God is, where his people are, where the gospel is proclaimed, where people are singing songs as we've done tonight, and hear God's voice and be convicted of their sin and become Christians. He was convicted of that because that was his experience. He said the last time he had been to church or chapel was when he was at a Catholic high school where chapel was compulsory. Hadn't been to church since. But his wife decided that she wanted her kids to go to Sunday school. And one of the mothers at the local school who was a Christian said, "Why don't you come to my church? We have a Sunday school program." And so the mother turned up with the children to the local church. And she loved it. She turned up and said, "This is fantastic." Met friends, heard about Jesus. It was a loving community. And she gave her life to Christ within a few months. She then said to her husband, Henry, "Henry, why don't you come to church? Why don't you come with me?" Husbands are often stubborn. But this husband finally gave in and went along to church with her. And he said, "I can't explain it, but when I was in the church with God's people, and I heard the songs, and I heard the prayers, and I heard the preaching of God's word, there was something that really appealed to me." And so week after week, Henry started going to church. Didn't know much about Jesus, but there was something about the gathering of God's people that drew him in and kept him coming week after week. Henry and his wife Sandra are both committed Christians, active in their local church. But I want you to remember that line, "Come with me on Sunday and you can see for yourself." I remember before Lucas was baptized, he had a bit of a debate online with a friend who was trying to convince him not to be baptized here. And I remember Lucas saying to her, "Well, why don't you come to church and see for yourself?" Now, this lady never did, but it's a good line to use. If you want to know what it is that I'm into, don't have any preconceived ideas, come along and see. And tonight, in the last talk in this Sent series, I want you to hold on to this truth, that although we are sent out to love people and to share the gospel wherever we go, God also uses the gathering on the Sunday to introduce people to Jesus Christ. God is here. His Spirit is here. God's people are praying. And God is here. John Dixon, who's a leading evangelist and writer, he says, "At heart, I'm an evangelistic preacher and writer. These are my skills and passions. But I can honestly say that in the years I worked as a local church pastor, I saw as many visitors, people just turn up to church for different reasons, join God's people through the regular Sunday service as I did through my more deliberate evangelistic preaching and programs. It was a humbling experience for an evangelist. I'm more than ever convinced that getting our church praise right, by which I mean making it gospel-focused, centered on Christ, heartfelt and intelligible to all, is a vital expression of our commitment to promoting the gospel. Friends, people walk into this church, and maybe you've walked into this church for the first time tonight, for all types of reasons. Last week, for a baptism. Sometimes for baby dedications. Sometimes to make your spouse happy. Sometimes for a wedding or a funeral. Sometimes you're just looking for friends. A fellow said to me once, why are you here? He said, well, I had a friend who told me after my wife died, he said, if you want to make friends, go to the Baptist church. He said, I'm not Baptist, but I Google a Baptist church. I found you guys, and here I am. God uses all types of things. Maybe they like the music. Maybe a friend has invited them. Maybe they've heard about church through playtime or craft or ESL. But we need, as the sent ones, to expect God to draw people to himself through our public praise like this. And when you come to church on a Sunday night, as you do, you need to be praying and expecting that God is going to put you next to people who are here maybe for the first time and are hungry to meet a Christian and are hungry to learn about God and forgiveness and new life. Don't just turn up to church thinking, oh, it's church again with all my friends. Isn't it great? We've got coffee beforehand. We sing great songs. We're going to have supper afterwards. We're going to the hall and have some games. No, no. They're all good things. But you need to be spiritually in tune with God and his spirit. And you turn up saying, God, what are you going to do tonight in this place? God, who are you going to speak? Which life are you going to change? God, who are you going to take out of darkness into light, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? From an enemy of God to a child of God. You need to come expectantly. You know, the people of God in the Old Testament, let me go back to Psalm 96. Psalm 96 really is a declaration of God's power and mercy within what we say the earshot of unbelievers, where the unbelievers can listen in. Israel is at worship. They're in the temple or they're in a synagogue. Jerusalem was a large international city. Jewish synagogues were throughout the Mediterranean. God's people would come. This is before Christ instituted his church. Israel were God's people, and they would sing, and they would preach. And the non-Christians would get close enough to listen. Close enough to listen. In fact, in the second Jerusalem temple, when Jesus was alive, you may be aware that there was a temple there where they went to worship, but there was the court of the Gentiles. There was an area in the temple. It's like saying up at the back, we've got the foyer for the Gentiles. Now, you're all invited in. You don't have to stay outside. But in the temple, there was an area where the ones who were not Jews were allowed to come in. Why? So they can listen to God's people at worship. So they can hear the message of God's love. So they can be drawn into the true people of God. And what would they hear, for example? Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Imagine you're a non-Christian going, what are they singing about? Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Oh, you mean all the earth has to worship him? Me too. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. God deserves praise and honor. Proclaim his salvation day after day. God is a God of salvation, you're learning as you listen in. Declare his glory among the nations. His glory, Israel's God, is the God of all the nations. His marvelous deeds, his miracles, his great deeds among all the peoples. You think, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. And you're listening in and you worship an idol. You worship a statue and you're listening to Israel's worship and they're saying, all the other gods are idols. They're not true gods. Only Israel's God is the true God. You see, they're being evangelized as they turn up to worship. And friends, if you're not a Christian, you've been hearing about God's love and God's mercy and God's forgiveness through the songs and through the prayers and through his word today. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. But what is specifically powerful about Psalm 96 is this. The psalm then addresses the non-Christians directly, the non-Jewish people directly. He says, ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. In other words, you guys, you ought to give God the glory. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts. In other words, approach God. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. Friends, public worship was an act of mission. Public worship was an act of mission. In fact, the Jews were so good at it, they sometimes got in trouble. We know that in Antioch, the Jewish colony in Antioch grew in numbers. Because the Jews weren't simply in Jerusalem and Israel. They spread everywhere. And they set up their congregations, their synagogues, like little churches like we have now. And then they would try to draw people in. They were constantly attracting to their religious ceremonies multitudes of Greeks. And these Jews had in some measure incorporated with themselves. They're worshipping, they're preaching, they're trying to draw people, through their worship, draw people into the kingdom. In fact, some of the ones in Rome were doing so well that they got banished from Rome. The leaders in Rome thought, we don't like the Jews because people are joining them and serving Israel's God, and they kicked them out. As the Jews had flocked to Rome in great numbers, were converting many of the natives to their ways, he banished most of them. That's what the Roman leader did. Old Testament, the nation of Israel, they come to worship, they sing songs to God, and through that they are drawing people to God. Psalm 96 concludes, therefore let the nations rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy, let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. What we see in the New Testament, and this is us now, is what was happening in the Old Testament with Israel is repeated in the New Testament with God's church. We are to declare God's praises in our public gatherings as well as out in the community. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, a great verse. But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So we are to declare the praises of him. How do we do that? We do it in song. We do it in sharing the gospel. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Some churches think the only way you evangelize is just to do church. Right? They say, we just go to church, we love Jesus, and we evangelize that way, and there are no Christians in their meetings. So they're not evangelizing anyone. They don't go out into the community. They don't go and share the gospel with their friends. That's not what we're talking about here. We're saying we do all those other things. Week 1 to 7 in this series is about going out, praying, speaking, doing good deeds. But we also believe that as we gather, God is speaking. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 12 says, this is another way to evangelize. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We've talked about that, haven't we? Christ-like lives and doing good works. People see that, wow, you Christians, you love people, you do good works. Secondly, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. We looked at that, I think, study 4 or 5. We need to proclaim the gospel with our words. We do it with our actions. We do it with our words. But we do it also, 1 Peter 2:9 says, in our gatherings. Tim Keller, leading pastor from New York, says, God is to be praised among all nations. As he is praised by his people, the nations are summoned and called to join in song. This pattern does not essentially change in the New Testament, where Peter tells a Gentile church to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness. The term cannot merely refer to preaching, must also refer to gathered worship. So we're sitting here thinking, who's getting evangelized? Who's becoming a Christian tonight? How is God at work? Let me illustrate. A couple of my friends went to St. Matthew's Manly on the Corso at Manly Beach. It's between, the Corso is the area where people walk between the ferry stop and the beach. It's full of people every day, especially on Sundays. There are tourists everywhere. There are holiday makers everywhere. St. Matthew's Manly, the friends of mine who went there said, it's just like Ngawi Baptist. Sing, preach, pray. It's a great church. The only difference is its music is 3 times as loud as Ngawi Baptist. If you're on the Corso at Manly, let me tell you, you're going to make your music three times louder than what we have here. Why? Because the crowds are walking up and down the street. Your church faces out onto the Corso. I said, what happened? He said, tourists would come into church. People walking down the street would hear the music, would be attracted and drawn in. They're within earshot of the unbelievers. Unbelievers would gather in the place. Person after person walked into the church to hear the gospel. Now, we are not on the Corso. We're on Bowman's Road. No one knows anything about Bowman's Road, right? We're in no man's land. God shouldn't be doing anything good in this place. But guess what? God is still doing a good thing. So we don't have to blare, have the noise so loud that our neighbours complain, for example. But people sometimes walk past here and listen to the music in the afternoon, and they walk up and they listen in to see what's happening. But how do most people come in? Let me tell you about Gabriel McKellar. She's was a staunch Catholic. Family members are Catholic. There are nuns in the family and priests in the family. Her daughter Caroline, many years ago, was overseas as an exchange student. She went to a Protestant family and went to a Protestant church. Strong Catholic background, came back to Australia and ended up at Ngawi Baptist. Her mother said, I'm not too sure about these Baptists, we're Catholic. So her mother turned up to church every week. You know why? So she can check out what her daughter was hearing about Jesus. Guess what happens when she's here every week? In the gathering of God's people, where God's Spirit is and the power of God is in this place, right, in the house. He hears the gospel and she says to me at the door, Ange, I've just worked out the difference. It's all grace, isn't it? We're saved by God's grace through faith alone. I said, you got it. Next week she said, Ange, it's grace, isn't it? It's grace. She comes in, she gets saved. I'm baptizing her in her 70s in the water over there. Another guy, Shakib, he turns up to church with his wife, Peggy. Why does he turn up to church? He turns up to church because he doesn't want her to be corrupted by some strange Baptist, some strange message. So he turns up with her to protect her. And every 5 or 6 weeks, he sits right in that back corner where Elise is. And I watch him as I'm preaching. After the service, he comes up to me. He says, Ange, who told you about me? I said, what do you mean, who told you about me? How come every time I come, you say something in the sermon that really hits me in the heart, something that I want to hear? How does that work? I said, well, it's God. It's all God. God told me. And week after week, and then one day he's about to go overseas to work in India, and we give him a Bible and the Two Ways to Live tracts. He's been coming for a period of time, listening to God, experiencing worship. He goes overseas to India. He's flying back. He's going to catch up with me. He's going to have to give me an answer. He's feeling guilty because he hasn't read the Bible nor the Two Ways to Live tract. He pulls out the Two Ways to Live tract because that's smaller, right, than a whole Bible. You can't say, oh, I read the Bible while I was in India. No, he couldn't say that. So he pulls out this little tract. The first picture says, God is the creator of the universe. You're a creature. He didn't need to get to number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He realized that God is the creator and he's accountable to God. He repented of his sins on that aeroplane flying over the Australian outback. Gave his life to Christ, flying back, having read that. Landed in Sydney. His marriage had almost ended up in divorce. His wife persevered by the grace of God. He turns up, goes to the airport and says, honey, you won't believe this, but I gave my life to Jesus flying back from India. But it started here in the presence of God. As another young guy started coming to church, I said to him last year, I said, why are you coming to church? He said, I was at a party recently and I met some Christians. There's something different about those Christians and the way they related and the way they spoke, so I decided to come to church to find out what makes the difference. I had a Chinese woman baptized last week, and I said to her, Pastor Liambo, how did she end up in church, this woman? I said, well, we used to go and sing at the local park down there. We knew her mother, and this lady asked for some prayer. She was pregnant, she was going to have a baby. She wanted a quick delivery and a safe delivery. Don't you all? They prayed over her. She had a quick delivery and a safe delivery, gave thanks to God and started coming to church. God uses all types of things to bring people in his kingdom. And I was preaching at the Chinese service this afternoon and talking about dedications, came to me afterwards and said, how do I go and dedicate my baby? Never heard about this before. Comes in, hears the gospel. The other Chinese lady who was baptized, Lily, Well, her cousin, Crystal, came to our church in the middle of last year. She's a committed Christian and she has a heart for evangelism. So she says to her cousin, why don't you come to church with me? And her cousin says, okay. Brings a couple of kids with her, turns up to church, she hears the gospel and says, this is fantastic. How can I find out more? We set her up with another woman to do a Christianity Explained with her. Over 6 or 7 weeks, she studies the Bible, gives her life to Christ and was baptized last week. Another woman I know, there's a fellow over here that was Alex playing, well, I remember his baptism, right? And Rhonda, his mother and dad, Graham, come to church and they witness his baptism and he testifies to how God has changed his life. And then Rhonda keeps coming to church, keeps hearing more about Jesus and gives her life to Jesus and gets baptized. And Graham comes to church and gives his life to Jesus and they're all here. There's another woman who attended her neighbor's child's dedication. Again, last year, this dedication happens. The Bertrams have a dedication. Their little girl Lucy is here. They invite their neighbors to come. The neighbors come. The next week, that neighbor is in church. I said, hi, how are you going? Why are you still here? I didn't quite say that, no. I said, you're back again. Yes, I came last week to the dedication. Jane's my neighbor. I said, I've never been to anything like this before. I just felt so peaceful and so loving and I just want to come back and hear some more. They come for a dedication. 6 months later, she's still here. The other week, I said, have you got a daughter? You've got a daughter, right? I said, why don't you bring her to Sunday school? We got a Rainbows program. And she brought her. And her husband was invited by someone else to the men's breakfast. There's another young guy who's maybe he was 10 or 11. He knows one of the families here and he said to his mum, I said, Mum, I want to go to church. Can you take me to Sunday school Sunday morning? Their parents are thinking, we don't go to church. We don't go to Sunday school. I've been at church since I was 16. I said, okay, we'll come. So the son comes, 3 other children, a mother, a new partner, and the woman's father as well. 3 generations turn up to church and they've been coming for the last 4 or 5 months and joining Bible study groups this year. What I'm saying to you, people come for all types of reasons. Another woman, a Greek lady, turned up to church. I said, why are you here? She said, I don't know. I wasn't happy at my church. I wasn't learning anything there. So I just Googled your church and I found it and I just turned up. Did anyone ever just turn up here? Anyone? Yeah, a couple, yeah. Some of you live across the road, yeah, Brett, yeah, we paid for you to come, don't worry. But sometimes people just turn up, or they've got a friend and they think, well, just turn up to church. It's not an evangelistic event, it's not that specially targeted men's breakfast or women's event. We just turn up in the place where God is being worshipped. But let me say, when people turn up, and this is the final point, as Christians who follow Jesus, who gave his life for us and rose again from the dead to give us eternal life, we're called to welcome and love those who visit. And this illustration can become a bit confronting for you. Listen carefully. It's interesting, people listen. It all went quiet at 9 o'clock when I started to tell her, because there's a certain guilt that starts to associate in our hearts of things maybe we haven't done well. It's not meant to make anyone feel guilty, although I feel guilty about myself sometimes. But there's a guy who did a survey of churches. Because what's it like to visit our church? And some of you are visiting tonight, some of you I don't know. I've seen some of you walk in, hopefully we get the chat after the service. What does it feel like to come into one of our gatherings? And this man chose to visit 18 churches, 18 different churches on consecutive Sundays. For 18 weeks, he went to a different church every Sunday. He always sat near the front, so he'd walk in, sit near the front, right? So he didn't sort of hide up the back and escape. Near the front, where people could see him walking down to the front. He walked slowly down to the front, took a seat, sat through the church service. At the end of the service, when people said, well, thanks for coming, and do the benediction, off you go. He would look around and just see if there's anyone to talk to. Anyone would talk to him, and then he'd wander slowly back towards the exit to try and get a conversation. Then he would walk back down the front, give it another go. Right? He gave it a decent go at every church, 18 different churches. He would initiate a conversation with one person. Just like you're the new person there. I'm going to try a conversation with one person. Not five, I'm just going to try with one. I'm going to see if anything else happens. If they offered coffee and good quality coffee like we have, he'd stay. And he used this scale to rate his reception at the 18 churches. 10 points for a smile from a worshipper. 10 points for a greeting. 100 points if a worshipper exchanged names with him. That's so important, isn't it? Hi, how are you? You smile at someone, hi, welcome. You keep moving. No, sorry, what was your name? Do I know you? Oh, you're Jasmine. Right, I'm Ange. It's nice to meet you, Jasmine. 200 points if you're invited to another service. By the way, do you know we've got another event on? Would you like to come to this? Or I've got a group. Would you like to come to something else? Can I connect you up? 1,000 points if they were introduced to another person. Because I said to Jess, hey, Jess, nice to meet you. Let me introduce you to Alex. Alex has been part of the church for a while, and then I bring someone else in, right? Because if it only relies on one person and you get called out, then the other person doesn't have anyone to talk to, and then they're standing on the corner again, going, here I am again. Who do I talk to now? Because you're new, right? You don't know anyone. 2,000 points if he's invited to meet the pastor. I tell you, everyone in the morning services brought their friends to me. They wanted the 2,000 points. Made a bit of fun. But this guy, when he did this, 11 out of the 18 churches earned less than 100 points. 11 out of the 18 earned less than 100 points. In other words, didn't get an exchange of a name even, probably. 5 churches received less than 20 points. He's there up and down, around the corners. And it's funny, after I did that this morning, people coming and telling me their stories. I remember visiting a church just south of the river. And a little while ago, I thought I'd just walk in and I had a day off. I thought I'd just go and see what it's like. And the worship, I've heard about this church. It's a decent church, a bit of a reputation. So I walked into the foyer. It wasn't a foyer crowded like this. It was quite a big foyer. And there was a library there, and there's a welcome counter there, and the welcome's out here. And I walked in, and they were all chatting to each other, and they gave me something in my hand, but didn't really acknowledge me, didn't ask me who I was and whether I'd been there before. I took it and, okay, kept walking, and then I stood around looking lost. You don't want, just realize what it's like for singles when they go to places, when you go alone. Because when you go with your wife or a bunch of kids, there's a few of you, you've got someone to talk to, right? When you're standing alone and they're talking, they look over every so often and they still just don't do anything, it's heartbreaking. You stand there and then I walk over to the library because you know what happens? The person who's new and doesn't know anyone, they cope by going to a place where you can pick up a book and it looks like you're doing something. Right? Anyone done that? Yeah. And then, still nothing, then I walked over to the welcome counter. Said, hi. Ask me another question, I'm thinking. Who trained you? I didn't say that. I just thought that. I said, I'm just interested in the information. So I've got some of that and some of that and some of that and some of that. And then after a while, the service is about to start. This is 15 minutes. I walk into the service and take a seat. People walk past me, sit past me. No one says anything. Hi, what's your name? Where are you from? And then halfway through the service, like Brett did today, so I turn around and say hello to someone. Friends, I'm like almost an hour in before anyone even looks at me and talks to me. Let me say, if that's ever happened to you here at this church, I am so sorry. If that has ever happened to you here, I am so sorry. That should not be the case in the Church of Jesus Christ. Often we know you can't really catch people because people run in late. You can't catch them until after the service. And so we'd love to talk to you after the service if we haven't been able to catch you on the way in. But it shouldn't be like that. At the end of the service, you would hope that you can stay around, meet people, find out more about our church and its ministries. It's so exciting this morning at 9 o'clock, and one of the women had brought one of her friends. I went up the back and I say to them, I have a pen and I have those care cards in my pocket. And I stand there with my pen and my care cards. I have no shame, absolutely no shame. I said, hi, how are you? Sarah brought a friend up to me and chatted. I said, hi, what's your name? And she told me her name. I said, can I just write it down so I don't forget your name, Kira? And how do I spell that? K-U-I-R-A. You have to repeat it right to remember it. You know, it's a good trick, right? Remember that. So you've got some kids? Are you alone? I asked the question. I said, did you come alone? Are you married? Do you have kids? You've got to be careful sometimes if you ask too many questions. I said, no, I'm by myself, but I have three kids. I'm separated. And well, how old are they? I said, oh, yeah, they're so-and-so. And I write their names down. And I said, which one's which? And we just wrote the 4-year-old, 7-year-old, 9-year-old. We wrote them all down, got all their names now. And do you mind if you give me your mobile number? Oh, no problems. Here it is. Gave me her number. And by the way, what about your address? Yeah. See, I'm in Picnic Point. Kids go to Picnic Point Public. She said, yeah, no problems. So I wrote her address down. I got everything, right? Tax file number, not quite. But they're just basic information. My experience has been, for most people I talk to in the foyer, they're happy to give you some information. Sometimes they say, no, listen, I might come back next week, but I'll give you details then. That's fine. I don't chase them down the street. I just chase the other ones down the street. Because sometimes you get caught talking to someone there and another new person and someone else is walking through and I think, someone's going to grab them. Please, Jesus, send someone to grab. And then someone gets them. Sometimes they walk out. The last thing I want to do is for a new person to come to this church and walk out with no one's talked to them. No one's engaged with them with the good news of Jesus Christ. And the fact that we as Christians are called to love people. And this lady said, oh, I think this is the church for me. I went to another church that didn't have any kids, but I sensed this morning that I'm going to bring my family to this church. A friend brings her. We're talking about loving and caring. And she said, yeah, I've got something to bring my kids to. There's a church in Saddleback in California, which is a mega church, right? It's not like this. They have a 3-minute rule at the end of each service. Service finishes. Everyone, don't forget, it's a 3-minute rule. Don't talk to anyone you know. Go and talk to someone you don't know. Now, that's scary for some of you who are introverts who don't want to do that type of thing. So we won't make that a rule, right? But if you'd like to take that initiative, and at the end of each service, look around for who's there, who you don't know, and engage in conversation that may help us to build loving community. Friends, Jesus said in John 13:34-35, now I'm going to finish with this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus laid down his life for us to deal with our sin and our failures that we would be restored to relationship with God. We had a love like that sacrificially. And if we love like this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Friends, when people walk into this place and they see the love we have for each other, the love we have for the new person, and the compassion we have, they're going to be drawn to Christ. I could tell you story after story. I've just given you a few stories tonight of how God works through the public gathering of his people. And it's my prayer that we would live as sent ones, never forgetting, though, that one part of being sent means being spiritually alert and available to be used by God right here and now at every public service that we run. God is in the house. God is doing his work. We just need to be ready for what he's doing. Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you that you are at work even tonight, right here. Thank you, God, for every single person that's come tonight. Some maybe for the first time, maybe for the second time, maybe for the 100th time. Lord, you love and care for every single person in this place. And we pray that you would help us to love one another, to encourage each other with the gospel message, and that we'd help each other to celebrate Easter as we approach Easter the next couple of weeks, that we'd help others come to know Christ personally, that we would pray for the hurting and the suffering through their struggles, and that we would build an authentic community that promotes Christ in everything we do. We pray in Christ's name for his glory. Amen. Friends, in terms of follow-up in our services, if you're new to our church, in the pews in front of you, you will have these what we call care cards, response cards. On one side is the visitor side, Were you able to give us some details about who you are, where you're from, if you're looking for a church home, maybe you just live in another city and you're just visiting for the day. And if you're a regular, it's your details. If you've got a prayer need, if you'd like to join a Bible study group, you'd like to be baptized, you'd like to know more about Jesus. If you fill those cards out with some details, we'll be able to make contact with you this week. And we will promise you to attempt to make contact with you if you fill these out. But also, I'll have some in my pocket after the service and a pen. Feel free to come and say hello in the foyer as well. God bless you.
We're going to give you a moment to fill out those care cards before we end our service singing.